6 o'clock.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is 6 o'clock on Monday, the 25th of January, the year 2021, and this is the regular Town of Curie Beach Town Council meeting. The meeting is called to order, so Commissioner Ellen, would you please give us the invocation?
Certainly. Let us pray. Dear wise and loving Father, first let me say thank you on behalf of all of those who are gathered here today. Thank you for your many and abundant blessings. Thank you for life itself, for the measure of health we need to fulfill our callings for sustenance and for friendship. Thank you for the ability to be involved in useful work and for the honor of bearing appropriate responsibilities. Thank you for loving us from your boundless and gracious nature. In the scriptures, you have said that citizens ought to obey the governing authorities, since you have established those very authorities to promote peace, order, and justice. Therefore, I pray for our mayor, for the various levels of city council's officials, and in particular for this assembled council. And I am asking that you would graciously grant them wisdom to govern amid the conflicting interests and issues of our times, a sense of the welfare and true needs of our people, a keen thirst for justice and rightness, confidence in what is good and big, the ability to work together in harmony, even when there is honest disagreement, and personal peace in their lives and joy in their tasks. I pray for the agenda set before us today. Please give an assurance that what would please you and what would benefit those who live and work in and around our beloved town of Curie Beach. It is in your most blessed name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, gentlemen of the council, we have the approval of the consent agenda. Are there any recommendations, changes, movements to the consent agenda?
Mr. Mayor, I make a motion we approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. The approval is granted for the consent agenda. Now, adoption of the regular agenda. I have a proposed change to the regular agenda. I would like to move 6.1, which is the presentation to council on parking, to 9.1, where we talk about the old business and we can have the presentations and the discussion at the same time.
Make a motion we move 6.1 to 9.1 as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, so be it.
We also need to.
We have another amendment to go to closed session.
I'll make a motion.
I make a motion to go into closed session for attorney-client consultation under 143.318.11A3.
It's on your.
Yep.
Okay.
You want to make it, Joe?
Yep. Make a motion we adopt and make a change to the agenda to add a closed session for an attorney-client consultation under NCGS 143-318.11A3.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So be it. Okay. We'll go right to committee business.
Can you do public comments first, Manny?
Yes,
we have no public comments unless there are some on the... we do have some. For,
okay. We have approved the amended agenda.
Did we approve the amended agenda?
No, you didn't. Sorry.
Nice job. Make a motion we approve the agenda as amended.
This is what happens when you take an extra week between meetings.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Wow, we are sloppy tonight. Okay.
I make a motion to approve the agenda as amended with the closed session.
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, good. We'll do better from here on in. Thank you. Keep us straight, Mandy. Okay, so do we have anyone to address council?
Yes, just press star 6 to unmute if you want to address council for 3 minutes or less.
Okay, then let us move on. Committee business. Do we have any input from the Bicycle Pedestrian Advisory Committee?
Mother's out of town tonight, so they'll be doing their plan retreat.
Okay. Community center. Any inputs from Nikki? Community center committee is still not meeting, at least not physically. So until COVID settles down. Historical Preservation Commission? Mr. Galbraith.
Thank you. I'm Craig Galbraith. And also I'm going to go ahead and cover the P&Z in a short statement here. As you know, we met earlier this month for the regular HPC meeting. We also had a special meeting for the HPC. And then we have the P&Z meeting. For the special meeting, that was designed as an open meeting to gather public input regarding the designation of the historic district as well as the design guidelines. We had one person call in who was a resident on Settlers Lane. She was in favor of it, but she felt that it simply needed a little bit more of an introduction, and we incorporated that. We then had a very long discussion in the regular HPC meeting about the design guidelines, and we went through item by item, Mr. Batson's concerns. All the HPC members also had suggestions and concerns. We ended up with a recommendation to revise the design guidelines, and I believe that Mr. Eldridge was going to have that done by our meeting, our joint meeting coming up on Thursday, I believe. Then on the P&Z meeting, what we did is we talked about the actual text amendment that would be required to implement that, and again, we had a very long discussion. And we had a few revisions on that, I believe. But overall, we had about a three-hour discussion about these issues, ranging between the three meetings that I just talked about. Obviously, I think I read a note to everybody that if you're interested, please listen to the recordings that we had. I think it covers a lot of the issues. Mm-hmm. And certainly, we're looking forward to having our meeting on Thursday.
Okay. Okay.
Any questions?
Any questions?
Same for Thursday, right?
We'll see you Thursday.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Craig.
Mayor, may I make an additional comment?
Sure.
Y'all, I'm sure Mr. Chairman Galbraith will make some comments during the joint meeting on Thursday. I've also prepared a presentation, and Mandy sent out the agenda packet and got that presentation in it. What I want to point out is on that agenda link, you'll see three documents. Design standards, workshop materials, designation report. The design standard document, you can basically disregard. That was the first draft of the design standard. You can review it because what's in the workshop materials are a little memo from me that will guide my presentation, revised design standards based on the exchange of viewpoints by walking through Mr. Batson's points, and also the text amendments to establish the historic district. I've also included the designation report, and it's not as long as it seems. A lot of that is an inventory of property. But I encourage each of you, if you haven't already done so, to read that prior to the meeting, because it sets out the elements that make the B1 unique. There's no sense in putting all of that back into the text amendment. So it kind of sets the context. Okay? Any questions? Okay.
Nope. Thank you, Counselor. Any other comments on that? Land Use Plan Committee, Commissioner Whitley.
We had no meeting in January. We are going to discuss this later on under old business with the proposal for the land use plan. But the committee was, all the ordinance changes we've made since 2006 were distributed to the committee, so everyone is preparing that. There's quite a bit of changes we've made since 2006 in anticipation of how we decide to move forward later on this evening.
Okay. Marketing Committee. Anything, John, from the Marketing Committee?
Not unless Ms. Elliott may not be on the phone, but okay. I don't have anything.
All right. Parking Committee. Parking Committee will be discussing the recommendation to Council later on in old business, and Premier Parking will be joining us and making a presentation. Planning and Zoning Commission. Okay, we already covered that. Shoreline Access and Beach Protection. Dennis, anything to report?
Yeah, just a brief... Shoreline Access and Beach Protection has been working on putting in place a plan for new signage along the beach. As you know, it's going to be much more extensive than we originally envisioned. There are dozens of missing signs and signs that need to be relocated, and probably some redesign of the signs so that we can locate various markers along the beach, so that we'll have that. Second thing was the sponsorship. Mayor, you asked last time, I think, about the sponsorship opportunities that would be on the back of the existing signs. Committee is finalizing that at our next meeting, and we will hope to have it to the council next town council meeting.
Okay. Thank you, Dennis. Thanks for the work you guys do on that. It's a great committee. Stormwater Committee.
Yes, sir. We met last Friday. So we still have not received approval of our proposal to the state of North Carolina for corrections from the 2019 December audit, so we're waiting on the state. Kind of our thought is we're a smaller community and they had so many communities to get through, they have too many plans, but we haven't heard anything. We submitted it on time, so we're just waiting for them. And then we have received the information from all of the pond owners but one for our required tracking of their permits. Our report is due in October, so we have plenty of time to work through that. And then by then we will have the required 6-month maintenance information for 2021 from each of those pond owners, which will help us. What the state did is basically the town has to monitor and report permit compliance with all subholders in the town, and that's why we have them all on the Stormwater Committee, so we can work with them to get that information.
Okay.
Can I add?
Yes,
sir. I'm not a member of the Stormwater Committee, but to let the citizens know that your council, along with Mr. Jackson, the building inspector, and Mr. Mesmer, the head of public works, last weekend on Saturday walked the drainage ditches over on the Marcy property to see their condition, which ones might be clogged up or have problems. After one thought, they looked much better this year than they did last year. We just let the people know that we've taken an interest in making sure that when there's a heavy rain, the ditches are such that they can get the water to the road.
Good. It's a credit to the work going on with Matsu, then they are helping us with the ditches. So, okay. Any other committee business? Then we'll move on into department head business. Administration.
I'll be up under old business.
Okay. Building Inspections Department. John.
John, let's drop me out first.
The one you have right there.
That one?
That's really all that's needed.
Okay.
Believe you guys, gotten this new map in your packet, and so I'll give a brief overview. In 2017, Town Council authorized me to appear before the Coastal Resources Commission to apply for a development plan. This was a new process that came up with that basically put responsibility on the beach towns to figure out where they wanted to measure from the ocean for development. When they came up with this rule in 2016, after my research, it looked like it would be advantageous to the town for us to apply for this process through CAMA, and so I came to you guys, and you guys said go for it. 2017, we got that line. We based the development line on the beach nourishment easements that we have on every single piece of property on our oceanfront. So that was fairly simple for us to draw that. When I proposed it to the Coastal Resources Commission, they had a couple of minor edits that they wanted to see happen, basically to have a continuity of the line going down the beach drain. A lot of what they pointed out as far as those edits is that they wanted to move the line to where it followed the common line of construction that existed at that time. So recently I denied a camera permit on the oceanfront based on the location of the development line, and research and discovery has since found that in February of 1996 there was an addendum to the easement line that was originally posted in 1995. It was recorded, the recordation basically had some wording, referenced a new map, and then said the map was attached. Well, that map was not attached when it got recorded. So I started looking for that map, and we found it in our archives. We have since re-recorded that document, and now based on the guidance from Town Council, I had the development line map redrawn, and now I'm asking you guys to review and vote to approve so that I can re-present this edit to the Coastal Resources Commission in February.
Can you show just which property? I know you told us, and I'm sorry to ask again.
If you can see this perpendicular line to the ocean right here. This is the existing development line. You can barely see it. Barely see that it says previous development line here. It jogs towards the ocean 50 feet. And there's your new development line. New development line. It comes over, it affects 18 separate oceanfront properties, and then jogs back down.
Okay. So it's all north Fort Fisher Boulevard?
It's 502 Fort Fisher Boulevard North to 628 Fort Fisher Boulevard North.
Okay. That does add significant amount of footage, it looks.
Commissioner Allen asked a question earlier, would that bring into compliance these pools that we've got encroachment agreements on? And essentially, yes, it would. Every one of those pools are built on those property owners' private property now. So those encroachment agreements that we have on these in this area have no bearing any longer.
And so, John, when you found the map, did you find the rationale? Was that because this was the Dow Chemical property and that's why the easement was after the fact?
It was because it was the Lacusa Test
Center. Lacusa Test Center, sorry. Yep.
Don't know why. I haven't had an opportunity to discuss with
you. When you found the map, we just don't know exactly what happened yet.
Yes, sir. The short of it is, it should have been recorded all along.
Exactly right. No, you're right. I'm glad you found it. That's awesome.
Good.
And we need to go to the PRC.
So, I hope I wasn't too bold in drafting a motion for you guys to read aloud, but in 2017, the Coastal Resources Commission was pretty specific about what they wanted to see in you guys' approval. So, I drafted a motion, and sent to Coastal Resources Commission attorney and had them read over it, and she's made a couple of additions. But bottom line, they meet on February 18th and 19th in Morehead City. I don't know which day we would be on the agenda yet, but I appreciate you guys let it, motion, make this motion and send me to Morehead City on the 18th and 19th.
Is the motion in here?
I got it right here.
Okay. Right there.
I'll let your liaison.
You make me read all that?
Yeah, and right into the mic, because you're soft.
I'm quiet on purpose. Do I have to read this whole sheet or just the motion at the bottom?
The whole sheet.
Motion to accept development line change. Since the development line closely follows the beach nourishment easement line, I'd like to make a motion to change the development line to reflect a newly discovered change to the easement along the ocean front from a map dated 2/16/1996 and recorded at New Hanover County Register of Deeds, map book 200, page 1056. The map was mentioned on the recordation, but was not attached. The modification to the development line on map dated 1/21/21 by Robert H. Gosley and Associates incorporates the change referenced above that affects 18 different oceanfront properties from 502 Fort Fisher Boulevard North to 628 Fort Fisher Boulevard North. I also make a motion to direct John Batson to make application and appear before the Coastal Resource Commission at the February 2021 meeting to make the request to the CRC to approve the proposed development line modification shown on this map and pursuant to the CRC's development line rules found at 15A NCAC 7J.1300 et sequitur. Is that right?
Nice.
What?
Yeah, that's right.
I'll second that motion.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to read that again.
So, discussion for the moment. Councilor, are we okay with this?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes.
Thank you, nice job on so research,
thank you, John.
Thank you, John. Okay, Finance Department, Arlen.
There's no no new updates on finance.
Okay, nothing to discuss beyond the reports in the file. Okay. Fire Department, Chief.
He's coming. Just one quick thing. The FEMA AFG grant has officially opened up. And the deadline is February 14th, I believe. It's got a cost share match of 5%. We have in our five-year capital plan to purchase radios, which is a fairly large expense for us in the police department over the next 5 years. And I figured this would be a good opportunity to put in for it because it does have a high priority. So I just need a consensus from council to move forward before I actually do the application.
Yeah, I'm very
You don't need anything from us stating we're good for 5%.
Not at this time. If I get through the application and do so, I wanted to get consensus from you before I started. And estimated somewhere between 150 to 200,000. So our cost share would be $7,500 to $10,000.
Well worth it.
Definitely. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Police Department?
Nothing new.
Nothing, Chief? I did see that we picked up a couple speeders in the report, so nice job.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Public Works Department? What you got for us, Jimmy?
Well, first of all, I just want to know if there's any questions about the monthly report that we normally do.
Nope.
There's a couple of things that's came up in the past week or so, especially the catch basin here in Town Hall in front of the fire department. We have completed the catch basin, and we did all the recommendations that Mr. Brown had asked us to do. I've contacted Chris Holmes Engineering, and they came out and inspected the foundation of the fire department to make sure that there was nothing wrong with the foundation. I was expecting an email from them today on those recommendations as far as compaction tests and stuff like that, but I haven't received it today. So as soon as I get it, sometime this week, I will copy you guys on it, and we'll take it from there. And I just want to know if there's any questions from council that hopefully I can answer tonight for you.
Oh, good job.
So we're all done, Jimmy? It's all fixed, compacted, done?
Yes. Everything's compacted and done. And we went above and beyond. We installed DOT approved blocks and stuff like that. And we covered the outside, inside and outside with mortar, waterproof the basin and everything else like that. But I also do want to bring up that while I was down there inspecting, there are a few concrete pipes in there that are showing some wear and tear on them, and that, you know, we may need to talk about it at the retreat as far as maybe relining or rehabbing, something like that. But also that I just want to let everyone know that we had installed a few Hatteras ramps at the 1,004.5, and we're taking care of the ditch that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And also I got in touch with the asphalt company today. They said that it's going to be at least 2 to 3 weeks before they can get here. They have to let the weather clear up, and holidays just put them behind like everything else. So.
Okay.
So we're paving the fire department?
Did we get the Bryan's Railroad and everything?
Yes, sir. We went in Friday, and we jetted all the dirt and stuff out of the lines.
Okay. But one of the things that Mr. Brown wanted to look at was that line coming from the police department.
Right.
I'm sure, so this is a small line.
We actually got our camera back Friday, so this week I will inspect that. But we tied everything back in, and water was flowing from it. So if it's, you know,
he was afraid that line come from the police department was an existing line also.
Yep.
And we need to make sure that we do the compaction testing per our specifications when town hall, before they did that pervious.
Right, yeah, that's something we got to look back into the building plans and repeat.
Yeah, Mandy's got all the specification books.
Okay.
So just the one other thing on that we need to look back after the fact now, right? So I know we've corrected it, but when you look back at what the initial inspection report was for that from the pre-construction, because that wasn't in the driveway, that was in out in the field, that actual box. So they didn't change the box, but we should have had a report about what the inspection said about the box from the beginning of construction.
Yeah, and we had all that inspected pre-construction and post-construction to make sure there wasn't any damages in there. So
I know, that's why we need to look at what the inspection report says.
Yeah, that's
exactly
right.
So Jimmy and I talked about that because, I mean, I know it's been 2 years. It doesn't seem like it, but it's probably been 2.5 now since we constructed. But there were a couple of things that when we looked at it, that foundation probably, we should have caught that it had a problem. We don't know. But there were stuff because it wasn't, because it was in a field, basically, that when they did it however many years ago, it probably shouldn't have been done like that. At least that's Jimmy's thought when him and his team got down in there. So we fixed the foundation that you can't really see from the outside, so they might not have seen it, but we just want to look and see what the report said.
Well, you know, one thing that Mr. Brown was concerned about was the fact that it could be, was never a problem with our big line. It was that small line that could be, we could have something going on with the line coming from the old fire department, police department.
Yeah.
I mean, we actually literally, if you can look at the pictures, we tore it completely down. We formed up a new, whole new footer, 12-inch footer, 5,000 PSI concrete, rebar, wire, everything that from ground up. It's totally new, so.
Right.
We hopefully we'll never have no problem with it.
Well, eventually, but we'll all be gone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's always going to be a problem.
Absolutely.
Nothing lasts forever.
Good. Other than that, I don't have nothing else.
Okay. Any other questions for Jimmy right now?
No.
So just okay. So I'm clear for my actions and my minutes, are we giving directives for the inspections and the cameras, or is that just part of the process?
That's just part of the process.
Okay. That's part of the process, yeah.
Okay, just want to make sure. Thank you.
All right.
Okay, last committee meeting before old business is recreation. Welcome, Nikki.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I hope you had a chance to read the memo regarding the replacement of the benches at the boardwalk. As stated in there, there's a couple that are in need of immediate attention, but with so many cancellations to things that have been budgeted, we could utilize some of the money already in the Parks and Rec budget to go ahead and replace all 10 at once. I did get the quote back on Thursday, and if we do all 10, the initial quote is the same, so $1,102 plus tax per bench and delivery. And then if we do all 10 at once, we'll get a $55 discount per bench as well. So that will be a slight break there. Mm-hmm. And I did speak with Arlen, and we believe there's ROT money available to get reimbursed for the cost of the benches as well.
Nikki, so we're talking about all the swings.
Or the benches. The 10 benches on the boardwalk.
The 10 benches, yeah. Okay.
There's four swings on the boardwalk, and they're close as well. I didn't want to chance ending up going over our budget, so I'm only focusing on the benches at this time, and then we'll probably budget in the next fiscal year for those four swings or soon.
Okay. And Arlen, the ROT budget can withstand this?
Yeah, even with the three requests that you approved earlier, there's still funds available. So.
Okay. All right. So, Nikki's looking for our approval to proceed with the 10 benches.
I'll make a motion that we give the Parks Director the authority to replace the benches at the boardwalk.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? So be it.
Thank you. So
nice job, Nikki. Okay, we now move into old business. And the first item on old business, 5.1, is paid parking. I'm going to start with a slideshow from the parking committee. The parking committee in this town has been meeting for approximately 3.5 years. We started without a designated pattern for parking, and we were able to go ahead and to get that pattern in place. We've had that pattern in place through two summers, and we believe it works. So we decided at that point in time that we would take the opportunity to seek what it would cost to go ahead and implement paid parking. Since no parking is free, either people who park there pay for it or the town pays for it, we went out with a request for proposal during the summer. We received input from six national firms. These six national firms put together some detailed proposals for us, and as a committee of three concerned citizens, one liaison from planning and zoning, two commissioners, and two staff members, did all the evaluations and came up with a recommendation. Before we get to that, I just wanted to say that as a small town, we're about 2,500 full-time residents. And if we grow to about 6,000 in season, we're trying to keep this parking proposal secure and simple because we have dedicated resources in this town for cleanliness, drainage, and the needs of the citizens. So we need a partner in parking who can pretty much manage that entire process. Our town is about 4 miles long and six streets deep. There are approximately 450 of 2,200 structures which are oceanfront or near ocean rental properties. These properties have on-site parking. Most of the locals have HOA lots to park in at the oceanfront, or they walk to the public access points. In my opinion, The clients here are the day trippers that enjoy our beautiful beaches and our small town beach atmosphere. And most days town parking is almost full, but it is also free. Now we have a unique opportunity to try parking at low cost without significant equipment. Our needs are not the same as Wrightsville Beach and Carolina Beach, who already have very significant inventories of machines they own and need to maintain. Next page. So we had a couple focus points from the perspective of the parking committee. Low cost for effective turnkey support. We wanted low startup, low management fee structure, and some type of incentive program that starts after the first year if we can ascertain whether we have a program that is suitable. We wanted client-friendly technology that would be low cost to engage, and if we fail, low cost to get out. Minimal equipment will be used, and we have a payment option for it. Our payment option would be to pay off this equipment over the 3 years of the initial agreement. We would start with only two pay stations, and from that point, let the data determine what is required. That idea actually came from Premium, and I like the thought of being data-driven to make decisions and not stacking ourselves with equipment that costs more than the money they bring in. We wanted ease of use for apps. We wanted a text pay. We wanted camera pay and some very easy ways for people who do not wish to use apps to pay for parking. We also wanted to use license plate recognition so we didn't have to run around with numbered spaces. We wanted a simple enforcement process, and we will be using private vehicles for enforcement and a bicycle patrol. Within this offer, we wanted to make sure that there were options for town employees, options for residents, and options for our business community. We wanted to make sure, and it's been explained, we can control pricing daily if required. If Tuesdays and Wednesdays are slow, we can have different rates for Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Our businesses can participate in a variety of ways, and that'll be talked about a little bit in the future here. Few-year contract with the ability to exit by ourselves or the supplier. If this does not work, we want to be able to get out, and they may wish to get out as well. So we will have a clause that we can mutually exit if necessary. Signs. We do not wish to bury the town in signs, but we will have to have a sign program if we go with paid parking. And that will be somewhere around $6,300. And we wanted user-friendly marketing opportunities. So a website is included in the cost. Education for businesses, for clients, and for residents is included. And we have 24/7 US-based helpline for any customer questions. Now, if we make a decision this evening, after we hear what is to be said, there are a couple town decisions that need to be made. Rates per hour, ticket and enforcement rates, parking enforcement period, resident programs and cost, business programs and cost, worker programs and cost, and the use of the income. So without getting much deeper into what our thoughts were, we are going to go ahead and ask that the premium executives that are on the phone with us go ahead with the presentation that we ask them to prepare for us.
Thank you, Mayor Linetti. I'm going to get this set up here. Y'all see the screen all right? You hear me okay?
You're hearing you loud and clear, and the screen is bright. Go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Ben, did you want to introduce yourself real quick?
I just wanted to introduce myself quickly. I'm going to let Tim handle the presentation, but I'm on the call and available for any questions. I'm the president of Premium Parking, and have been involved with Tim on this process, and we're excited about the opportunity to work with y'all and show you the town and the council how we focus on gateless parking and really kind of keeping parking simple. I know that was kind of a big intro for us, and I think it's right on point. And I'll let Tim take it from here. But thank y'all for the time and the interest.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ben. And thank you, Mayor and Town Council. My name is Tim Hoppenrath. I'm Premium Parking's Market President for the Coastal Carolinas. I've got over 30 years experience in managing very large parking portfolios, most recently in Washington, D.C. for a very large company before happily joining Premium Parking. We're very excited to be invited to present this modern parking program. And again, I want to thank you for your time to learn about Premium's parking solutions for the town of Curie Beach. Before I get started, I want to ask that you save your questions or type them into the comment box, and we'll have some time for Q&A afterwards. So we plan to run through this deck in about 30 minutes. And the main point, really, I hope you retain, is that Premium Parking is the only parking management company that doesn't depend on outside tech partners to manage different elements of the parking operations. Premium is your turnkey digital parking management solution provider, and we're really the gold standard that our competitors are trying to replicate. We've spent the last 7 years iterating and fine-tuning this parking platform that is making the parking experience simple for users to consume and simple for our managers and town administrators to use. Today we'll tell you a little bit about Premium Parking, our proposed solutions, and a few short user workflow videos. We'll talk about how we plan to implement our program. We'll run through some of the recording, and then we'll close with a summary of our value propositions and expected costs. So Premium Parking, our corporate headquarters is based out of New Orleans with regional offices in Charlotte and Charleston. We've been in business for about 15 years, operating over 370 locations nationwide in about 45 markets, led by 25 market presidents like myself. We also have well over 1.2 million app users. And I think it's important to note that we operate the digital parking management program using our own Glide Parks platform at 100% of our locations, which saves our clients significant costs and frustration trying to piece together a program like ours. We may not be the biggest company, but I'm confident our clients will agree that Premium is the best parking partner they've ever had. We've been told that numerous times because we genuinely care about our customers, our clients, and our internal teams. We're not publicly traded or backed by big venture capital groups expecting a large return at any cost. I've worked in the parking industry for about 32 years, both for the big companies and for the smaller companies. And it's true, time and time again, smaller companies give their clients the attention they deserve, unlike the big companies with 5,000 locations that have, acquisitions every couple of years with constant turnover of critical staff. Curie Beach is my territory, and I will personally be heavily involved in the day-to-day operations, and I'll be the main point of contact as we plan the rollout. So all of our operations are 100% gateless. So when we saw this RFP that Mayor Lisinski put out, we knew Premium would be a perfect fit for Curie Beach. We call our platform Glide Parks, because it was designed to make paying for parking fast, managing parking more efficient, with all transactions feeding to one cloud-based data hub that our clients can access and make data-based decisions. Some of our client partners include municipal operations with cities, with the cities of New Orleans, Mobile, and Memphis. We run a number of healthcare facilities, large mixed-use and retail facilities for Target, Brookfield, and BD Development. We run Under Armour's corporate headquarters in Baltimore, and all of the Oklahoma State Parks use Live Parks for their admission parking passes and compliance. So here's how it works. We use the unique identifier in every vehicle, their license plate, as the credential to verify day parkers and permit parkers have valid parking sessions. Everyone must register their plates and pay in advance for their parking session. And it's really very simple. Here's the day parker's user experience, starting with sign messaging. So Premium has developed multiple ways for parking and really make it simple for the user with step-by-step instructions. The easiest one that doesn't require downloading an app is called TextPay. It is very simple. It was really developed for kind of first-time parkers to make paying for parking as streamlined as possible. The whole process can take as little as 20 seconds to go from arriving in the lot, reading the message on the posted sign on how to pay for parking, and having completed the transaction. Here's a short user-facing video of TextPay. So it's just like sending a text message to a friend or a family member. You start by texting park to 504-504, tap the link, enter the parking location number that's on the sign, enter the plate number, tap the amount of time you plan to be parked. You can pay with Apple or Google Pay or your credit card. You review the details, then you pay. And that's it. You're all set. Very simple, huh? With the surge of COVID, we are seeing very high adoption rates scanning QR codes to essentially do the same workflow as TextPay. We offer both options on the instructional sign. And here's how our camera pay works. So you see the sign, you open the camera pay or the camera app on your phone, you scan the QR code, which takes you to the payment page. You enter the license plate to credential, select the time, pay with a credit card, just like in TextPay, Apple or Google Pay. You'll get a receipt that tells you when parking expires, and one of the neatest features is our reminder text, 15 minutes before expiration, allowing you to either, you know, pack up and leave the beach, or extend your session with a couple taps on your phone. We also offer other payment options, including our premium mobile app, where you can prepay on the parking lot website, and each lot and zone will have its own website. You're going to have a website for every one of the lots. And we're planning to start with a couple of pay machines, like the mayor said, for the traditional parkers. Then we'll offer validation kiosks for businesses that want to validate their customers' parking. And we also have a 24/7 customer service call center they can pay if that's what they prefer. We have the number one rated parking operator app in the Apple App Store as well as Android. If you've already used your phone to TextPay, we securely store the information for downloading the app. Only requires entering your name and email address and can be done at your leisure. This option will be the fastest way for regular visitors, people who come frequently, because your information is already securely saved and the GPS will even know what lot you're at. So you just confirm the location, select the session and time, and tap pay. Literally takes 5 seconds and you're off to the beach. On the receipt, We give the parker the option to let others know the occupancy at the lot by tapping the yellow buttons after parking. We call it crowdsourced occupancy sharing karma. If you're someone who prefers to prepay before even arriving, this is an option through the browser or app. Your visitors will be able to type in Fury Beach, which will take them to a destinations page, which will display all the popular destinations. For instance, we'll add like the pier to your popular destinations page, and visitors can select that tile. Then all your parking lots closest to that destination will be displayed so they know where to park in advance of arrival. We can add a hyperlink on your town website to also help with wayfinding. This is a greener solution than just driving around and, I guess, causing more gridlock, spewing out emissions. Our parking program is the most eco-friendly system in the parking industry by far. Our robust operator dashboard can enable rate changes when there's like big events like the 4th of July. It's very simple to change the rates manually or use what we call RateBox to automatically change by programming an algorithm that can increase or reduce rates based on demand, maximizing revenues. Included in our program, like I said, you'll get a custom branded web page for every lot and zone. It looks like your web page is blue, so we can match that color if branding is important. This is how it looks in the mobile app. It displays the rates, occupancy, they can provide feedback, and they can also click on the address, which will navigate them to the lot entrance using Google Maps. Included in Glide Parks is our digital cloud permits. Again, using the vehicle license plate as the credential, residents will simply register their plate and be allowed to park without having to do anything. That vehicle will be whitelisted for whatever period of time the town decides to give the resident. Permit accounts can have up to 3 license plates, so if you use your spouse's vehicle, you won't have to worry about getting a ticket. Business accounts can have special rates set up based on convenient parking versus remote parking pricing. Setting up a business group account is as easy as 1, 2, 3. The store or restaurant manager emails the employee an invite to their account. The employee registers their license plate to activate, and now they're authorized to park. Very simple. Here's what the email looks like. You tap the red button, enter the vehicle info and plate number, and they're all set. No waiting for a sticker or a permit to arrive in the mail or waiting in line at an office. Once the license plate is saved on the account, they can start parking on their start date. Then we've developed all types of digital validation programs. If you ever need to validate parking for visitors, employees, or special guests, you can email promo codes to visitors like you see on TV. Enter the code and parking is validated. We can set up validation programs with the retail businesses, enabling them to validate their customers' parking if they'd like from a desktop kiosk or a browser. We also have these promo code cards for free or discounted parking. And we can set them up to discount by dollar amounts or percentage values. And here's how the promo codes work. So you do kind of the same workflow and you saw there in text pay and camera pay videos. But what it is after selecting the session of time and right before paying, you're going to enter the promo code to discount the parking fee that's displayed. And you confirm your details. And that's it, your parking's validated. Then we have our integrated pay machines for people who don't want to use their phones to pay for parking, like my father-in-law who's still using a flip phone. Very simple, again, using the license plate as the credential. Premium will fund the capital cost of the 2 proposed pay machines and then amortize this cost over the term of the contract.
Finally, we have our 24/7 customer service center where we can answer site-specific questions, and they can even pay for parking over the phone. So what's our plan to ensure a seamless, successful parking program for the town of Curie Beach? Here's a summary. So we're going to start by ordering pay machines because they take about 6 to 8 weeks for delivery. Then we'll be mobilizing our HR and training support staff to start recruiting, interviewing, hiring, and training the team. We concentrate on recruiting people who have a hospitality background, perhaps former hotel or even public safety employees, maybe college grads, and even retirees looking to rejoin the workplace. We're also happy to interview furloughed or retired Curie Beach employees. And if y'all would like to meet our candidates before we hire them, we can arrange a brief meeting to get your blessing. Training includes online and in-person sessions covering all of our Glide Cars modules. Our operator dashboard, enforcement, hospitality topics, including dealing with difficult people, service recovery techniques, pay machining, troubleshooting, and our account manager also has daily huddles at the office to go over one hospitality topic every morning to keep everything fresh in their heads. Our marketing team can work with the town on the public relations rollout. We'll build out the back end in websites. We'll finalize the designs and order the sign packages. We even like to introduce our management team to the retail owners and managers to answer questions. The pay machines and signs can be installed by a contractor or by your maintenance team to save on costs. Last, we'll bring in some support departments and market presidents to assist with the go-live for about a week to assist the public in person at the lots. We'll set up the office, train the staff, and if the police officers decide to use our platform for civil citations, we'll train them as well. Once we go live, each day we'll check in and report back how things are progressing. We have a much more detailed task list, but this is a high-level summary of the deliverables. So our operation teams include two groups, the local group and our corporate support departments. The local team will consist of an account manager, a part-time assistant manager, leading the enforcement ambassadors and porter who keeps the public space neat and tidy. So I'm based out of Charleston and expect to spend a good portion of my time during startup working from Curie Beach. Our president, Ben Montgomery, and our CEO, Jim Hugie, are actively involved in all operations and available at any time should you need to pick up the phone and give them a call. Then we have a very robust corporate support team at headquarters in New Orleans. To give you an idea of how we plan to message the public, we've created an illustration here that shows the messages upon arrival. Remember your license plate number, and that you have to pay after parking when entering. Then down near the beach access point, we have the instructional sign offering text pay or camera pay options. And also we have a yellow sign which warns them that the lot is patrolled and enforced, letting them know that failing to pay for parking will result in an enforcement action. Our Glide Cars platform has an integrated compliance check and enforcement app. So compliance ambassadors will check vehicle license plates simply by taking a photo of the plate number every hour or so, which then verifies payments and flags any violators. Here's our integrated enforcement app. You're basically using the camera to take pictures of the plate, and our integrated license plate recognition technology will verify if they're valid or invalid in batches of 30 plates at a time. Our enforcement compliance ambassadors will use bicycles to patrol and enforce using a Bluetooth printer to issue citations. They're very simple workflows for checking plates and issuing citations. It enables warnings, citations, and even boots for repeat offenders. All violations are logged, So if we issue a warning to someone the first week, and maybe the same license plate comes up as a violator 3 weeks later, we'll see the original infraction and can escalate the enforcement action to a citation or a booth with fines. The key here is that the town will set the enforcement action policy 100%. Premium recommends a soft enforcement policy, maybe warnings the first few weeks, then issuing citations with fines going forward. This app also has a digital chalking feature for time-restricted parking, like say 2 free hours in front of restaurants, where they timestamp the plate, return after 2 hours to check if the vehicles are still parked or not. Like I said, we have 3 levels of enforcement, and we'll work with you on setting the policy. We can issue warnings, which are log citations, letting visitors know the violation type. We can escalate to citations with fines and even self-removal booting for repeat offenders. QR codes are printed on the citation, which takes the violator directly to the payment page, just like camera pay, so they can quickly pay their parking fee, the fine, and clear their parking balance. Again, the town has final say on all enforcement policies and pricing of fines. Our enforcement dashboard is where we manage the back end of the violation, including the payment portal and appeals. Very simple to pull dozens of detailed enforcement reports. So our goal is to make the resident parking experience simple while also managing the day trippers, employee parking, retail business patrons, and ADA parking. The day trippers going to the beach can park in the public safety lots and single spaces not marked with time restriction signs. We'll work with the town to identify which spaces will be time restricted for retail patrons. Our aim is to turn these spaces over. So when someone just wants to eat breakfast at the Curie Beach Diner, there's space available and not occupied all day with beach parking. Residents will receive free parking after verifying residency and registering their license plate in our digital cloud permit application, if that's what the town wants. Employees will be offered a discounted monthly rate at remote lots, and I expect vehicles with valid handicap credentials displayed we'll get free parking like Carolina Beach offers. We'll prepare a very detailed parking guide to post on your webpage in PDF downloadable format, explaining the policies and procedures, how to pay parking, and even civil citations, general information, and parking office contact information. So when you go from free parking to a paid parking program, visitors then look for places to park for free, right? And it becomes a problem for the local businesses. This part wasn't really included in the original proposal, but one solution Premium has developed to mitigate this issue is our FlexBots program. Come spring, the town is going to start getting complaints from businesses about beach parkers poaching their free spaces. So we propose getting in front of it as soon as we are hopefully awarded this contract. And with your permission, we'll start contacting local businesses with private parking lots and educating them on our FlexBots program. And here's how it works. So instead of towing, we install signs messaging the parking policy at that private lot. For example, complimentary for hotel guests, maybe 2 hours free for restaurants. And then with FlexBox, if our business owners are interested, they can monetize their spaces when they have a surplus of space and actually generate revenue. The town can even promote the program online to businesses. FlexBox will help control their customer parking while maximizing land use to help accommodate public beach parking demand. Enforcement agents patrol and enforce the private lots, and all citation revenue can be split with the town as another source of revenue. We recently partnered with Target to solve their poaching problems, and are now talking to Whole Foods about multiple implementations in 2021. Flag Hunt is a very effective way to mitigate local business parking problems caused by beach visitors. The great thing about the premium parking platform is all the data feeds to a single source in real time. So there's 100% transparency, and our clients have access to a client partner dashboard to look up revenue for the day and pull reports filtering dozens of different data points. You can look at transactional data, feedback by customers, survey scores, how many permit holders. You can look up enforcement data, revenue, occupancy, and reservations if you'd like. We found the customer feedback survey to be a very effective way to see what's working well and what needs attention. Then developing a plan to address any issues. Surveys will be shared with the town in our monthly report of business. So in the early stages, we would meet frequently to discuss how things are going and work through any bumps in the road. Then we'll develop a rhythm of monthly meetings in person or via Teams to go over your monthly report of business, that's financials, operations, and really brainstorm on improvement ideas. Quarterly meetings could be a little more formal, I guess, providing snapshots of each quarter's results and updates on any projects completed or that are in process. We'll use historical data to generate budgets for the following year because we only have one full stack platform. All transactional data is stored in one data hub, making it simple to pull reports to make budget decisions. This is very important. In my past life, I had to pull from dozens of different sources, and it wasn't easy. So once the season is over, we would have our annual meeting where we could take a close look at the revenue and expenses and see if there's potential for savings or increasing revenues the following year and reforecast the budget. Like I said, the town will receive a monthly statement detailing all revenue source data. We'll provide all expense backup for supplies and payroll, and you'll get a remittance check, or you can set up an ACH transfer of funds, typically by about the 20th of the following month. And here's an example of a client dashboard overview, key operational performance indicators, or KPIs for short. Client dashboards can provide transactional data, filter by periods of the day, payment channels, or by rate of earnings. So as we finish this presentation, I hope everyone has kind of a clear understanding of Premium's proposed digital parking management solutions for Curie Beach. I want to quickly run through our value propositions and costs. So Premium proposed what we believe to be the most logical and easy to understand management fee model that we also have in place at 99% of the locations we manage. In this scenario, we provide staffing and management of the day-to-day operations. We provide the cloud-based technology, FlyPark, to make it simple for parkers to pay and manage their permits from their smartphone devices or their browsers, all with the 24/7 call center support staff and department leaders ready to assist at a moment's notice. Our management fee is only $1,000 per month, which includes the local team to manage the customer service, enforcement services, Premium digital platform to manage everything, along with porter services to keep the parking facilities clean and inviting. All payroll and other expenses are billed back to the town each month, and again, we provide backup documentation on operational expenses, including payroll reports. Premium is offered to fund the capital expenses for two pay-on-foot machines, about $20,000, and the design and production of your sign package estimated at about $6,500. These expenses can then be billed back monthly over the term of the contract. Additional pay machines can be added if demand data requires more machines, but we believe smartphone adoption is increasing, so we don't anticipate any more will be needed. I think the main value add that Premium brings, aside from our extensive parking management experience, is the fact that we developed our own full-stack platform that enables us to offer the public payment options that don't require downloading the app. It can also manage the town's permitting, validations for local businesses, provides websites for each parking lot or zone. We've got our own experienced marketing team to help roll out the public relations message and can even help the local businesses with beachgoer parking in private parking lots with our innovative FlexLots program. Premium is the only company that can offer the public our own camera pay, text pay, or Premium's mobile app with the user paid transaction fees, this is important, as our main source of compensation, whereas our competitors we need to partner with outside aggregators such as Spot Hero or PayByPhone, who would be paid out of those transaction fees for the smartphone payment option, and none of it would go to the parking operator as compensation, so they would have to charge more in management fees. Premium even proposed to share a percentage of the transaction fee to the town as another source of ancillary income. So to summarize Premium's cost, we've offered to fund the capital for the signs and pay machines, charging back these costs each month out of the revenue generated from parking. The labor and burden cost will be about $100,000 for a seasonal, full-time account manager, part-time assistant manager, two compliance enforcement ambassadors, and one part-time porter to clean up the parking lots and zones. The operating expense, including our ByParks management technology, are expected to be a little over $50,000, all at a cost of $6,000 in management fees to the town for a professional parking management company to implement and manage your paid parking program. Again, our compensation is subsidized by the transaction fees, which is why our management fee is so low. Our costs are low because we have our own management technology. No need to hire a third-party aggregators, enforcement platforms, no additional costs for permit management, digital validation. GlideParks has it all in one affordable system that feeds all transactional data to a single data hub, so you know your reporting is 100% accurate and ties back to the revenue collector. We have yet to see our competitors with a proven platform as robust as Premium GlideParks. Other companies have a disconnected program. They're going to charge you for every module to manage parking. And then they're going to bring in the third-party aggregators, like they do at Carolina Beach, which will confuse the public because they're going to have different zone numbers than lot numbers, and they won't integrate with the enforcement software. We had a call with the director of parking at an Ivy League university who literally said, and I quote, "Where were you guys 5 years ago when I was going to a gateless digital model? It's been very challenging trying to piece together multiple texts to manually create your GlideParks program, and it still doesn't work like I hope." This is an actual quote. I was on the call. So instead of trying to piece together a bunch of disconnected parking modules, let's start with a great modern digital model and future-proof your parking for the road ahead. So thank you for your time. I hope we've covered everything, but I'm sure you have some questions. Anyone?
I thought they covered quite a bit of what we were interested in. Arlen, quickly, from a cost perspective of the six, with the combination of usability, flexibility, their costs were very much in line with the lowest group.
Exactly, yeah, by far, and especially considering like management fee, it was definitely one of the lower cost options.
So, and gentlemen, any questions? I know it's a lot to absorb, but any questions for the marketing president and the president of the company while we have them?
So, just so I understand, based off your calendar, that you would be ready to actually start 60 days after the town made a decision. Is that true based off your timing?
Yes, that's correct.
60 days after we... I'm sorry, 60 days after
we... lost the machines.
Yes, but 60 days after we signed a contract, I guess, really is more appropriate.
Correct.
And so how long does the contract take? Do you think on your side? I'll ask our town attorney after I ask you, but how long do you think the contract takes on your side?
Well, we've got a model, and Ben can probably address this.
Yeah, I mean, usually it's a week or two back and forth, red line. We usually provide a base document to the client, and the client's counsel will, you know, mark it up and then however many back and forth. But usually it's about a week to a week and a half, I'd say maybe 2 weeks.
And so, town attorney, do you agree with that? I'm asking our town attorney if he sort of feels that's a reasonable time frame.
That's the process. It's a reasonable estimate of the time frame. It just depends on the circumstances at the moment, but it's a reasonable estimate.
Right. So, say 75 days. I just want to make sure council has in front of them. If we were saying we wanted it to happen Memorial Day weekend, if that's the town's push, we'd have to really decide by the end of February or early March, I think, to make all that happen. Mm-hmm. That's for Memorial Day weekend this year. So I just wanted to understand what the timing is for council.
So if we decide to go forward, as far as the contract goes, are we going to have all of those items, like what we're going to charge per hour, all that stuff worked out in the contract prior to us giving them the go-ahead? Or could we give them the go-ahead and us work in our...
Well, I was hoping that we would ask them for a recommendation on, just let them set the base. This is what we recommend, since they have experience with it. Curry Beach will charge. This is not a recommendation at all. Curry Beach will charge $5 an hour, $20 a day. And then we as a council, once we get those numbers back, we will meet and go through what we think might what worked best for Curry Beach.
Well, they had one on page 42.
Yeah.
From September. I don't know how detailed we've looked at it. I think Alan's question is pretty appropriate, right? There's a whole bunch of decisions that I would hope they would lead us through, right? But at least I think they did a good job of capturing them. Go ahead, sir.
This is Ben again, just real quick. On the contract side, it's a management contract, so ultimately, the approval, the contract usually worded where y'all will approve the rates. The rates and policies do not need to be determined to complete the contract, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think
the contract will flow for whatever rates, you know, again, usually just says, you know, with approval from clients.
Yeah.
The
design with all the flexibility and what you can do.
Yeah.
Allows you to make changes pretty much on the fly. So like he says, it's a management agreement. It really doesn't, rest of this can change depending on what the data tells us.
Yeah, and that, him saying management agreement, that answers my question.
Right. I mean, I think it's a great presentation. I don't know if Parkin's right or not still, and it sounds like not that many citizens have still been involved, and so I don't know the right answer to that, but I think it's a great proposal, and I like a whole lot of things about it for sure. As far as simplicity, I worry a little bit about the apps issue, but I think everyone's going there anyway, right? I agree with you about your flip phone father-in-law, sir.
he asked me for an old phone the other day, one of my old iPhones, so I may be sending out a phone. He may get into,
just some data points on that front. We were at about 69% of all transit transactions in the company were being done on mobile phone prior to COVID, and that number is up to 82% as of last week.
Well, do you think that's because all the old people were staying at home because they're scared to go out, like me?
Well, I think also, you know, Tim mentioned the QR code, which we call our camera pay system. Because the restaurants have started using these QR codes for menus, you see this massive adoption of that, and that's really just such a seamless way to start a transaction. Half of our transactions are not on native installed app. They're all in our text pay and camera pay, which is an appless guest transaction. So people only have to download an app. It's very quick, and especially for visitors. I think you'll see very high adoption of those two workflows.
Greg, you have a comment?
So the local or our citizens or the property owners here in town will register their own license tag, so we won't have to do stickers or anything?
We'll still have to do them for other things, right? So hurricanes and stuff like that. Yeah. It sounds like not for parking. I think we'll have to figure out how they validate, because I was thinking about that too, right? So I think we want the emails to come through us to validate them somehow, probably. I don't know how. Yeah. So we know they're a resident.
Well, they need to validate residency. You're absolutely correct.
Right.
And
we'll still be involved in the process somehow through staff. I don't know exactly how.
Yeah, I have two questions. Maybe I missed the first one in that the way I understand it, you have different expense categories that would be charged back to the town of Kerry Beach. But I didn't see any revenue sharing. Does this proposal have any sort of revenue sharing with the company? Because that certainly wasn't explicit as to what the percentage was. And the other question I had, too, is that this makes a lot of sense for the lots, but we have a lot of parking on streets. And how would that be managed in terms of signage? I can understand a sign that says you have to, text things in at the beginning of every single lot, but we have a lot of street parking here. Would that also be covered under this, and how would the signage work for that?
Those are good questions, and those are questions that we have addressed with them. I should let them explain it. But clearly, you just create zones, and those zones can be a parking lot, or they could be 10 spaces in a row on Fort Fisher Boulevard.
But would you have a sign for each of the spaces on FFB, considering how spaced out and irregular they are? That's one of my questions. But that'll all get worked out in the details.
There are mobile signs that I know. I was over at Target the other day, and I saw Target has, like, for their pickup area, very simple, easy to move. You fill the base with water, and it looks nice. So that's an option. We really just need to get eyes on, the single space on street parking spaces.
And so let me just comment on that too real quick. Just, on street is actually the place where, mobile transactions really, kind of happen first. And that's a pretty typical strategy, is you just have distributed signage. But that's one of the things, when we talk about compliance, because obviously, we run our entire portfolio on Downey Gate, so we are, very, very clued into what we call the compliance percent in all of our different projects. And a lot of people think compliance is all about enforcement, and I actually think that's the last piece of the puzzle. The first is ease. In other words, how easy is it going to be to do a transaction? That has to do with how clear your signage is, how simple the instructions are, and then how easy the workflows are. And I'll tell you, you can really increase your compliance by just making it very easy to understand and easy to pay. We spend a lot of time designing signage and software to make sure that's the case. And the second is education. You've got businesses and residents, and there's going to be people all around. And the reality is we spend a lot of our time working with the stakeholders in the market and making sure they're educated on the program, and we've got the proper workflows and strategies that makes it, back to item number one, easy, but for their employees, visitors, you know, guests, whatever, to credential. And the last is obviously enforcement. Enforcement is, you know, one of these things, actually, when you get into the data, it's pretty exciting because you get very granular data. You can really understand where your program is. That's something we will report on, you know, with y'all and you know, make sure everybody understands and it's aligned with the goals of the town.
And going back to your question about the revenue share, so yeah, we didn't propose a revenue share deal. We proposed a management deal. So basically, all expenses are paid out of the transaction, the revenue, and including our management fee. We're not taking like, you know, 3% of the total revenue or anything like that. We did include an incentive, for the year two. So revenue that, has been increased based on our system, will share in some of that top line revenue increase.
That would be a baseline agreed to by the town in the second year, right, Tim?
Yes, correct.
The idea is to create a baseline that we can deliver more NOI to the city than we'd be incentive on that. But because it's a new program, there's nothing until we have a good baseline and then we mutually agree upon.
So Craig, basically everything over their expenses would come to the town.
So it's a pretty simple break-even analysis.
Yeah, exactly right.
Any other questions for these gentlemen while we have them? That's within 2 minutes of the proposed hour. So anybody have any other additional comments?
Mr. Mayor, I assume our next step is we're going to have to meet at some point to discuss all those items that we have to make a decision on. Assuming that we approve the use of this company, then we're going to have a special meeting to discuss time and rates and all that stuff.
I would believe that we could talk about that during the our session on the 1st.
Okay, well, that's fine.
I think the decision before us is, do we wish to move forward with trying paid parking, or do we wish to not move forward with paid parking? So I would be interested in the will of the council, what they would like to do next, but yes, Councillor.
Can we ask the company if there's a template of the contract they can send us? I'm not asking them to prepare one specific for Terry Beach, but it might be instructive to see how they approach this, all these matters contract-wise that you all discussed what you want to do.
Can you do that, Tim? Can you provide us a standard template?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. If you get it to me, I will get it to the counselor and the clerk.
Not a problem.
Mayor, go
ahead. John?
Is the parking committee still meeting?
We, to answer that question, we have met quite a bit in the last 3 months. This was the culmination of that work to make, we believe we came up with the best available alternative. It was almost unanimous. There was one vote who was interested in potentially having maybe a more traditional type arrangement, but in trying to avoid where sand and sea meet metal, we really wanted to go with something that was very simple from a transactional perspective and does not require, if this becomes a problem, that it does not require that we have a pile of equipment to pay off, right? We can add equipment in the future if we deem, but otherwise, no. But to answer your question, We will meet, I guess, as long as we need to, but we're at the point where I think we need direction.
Okay. Well, where I was headed with that question is kind of a response to Commissioner Allen. In this list of town decisions that we see on the graphic, I would like for the parking committee to make that recommendation, maybe bring it to the retreat or bring it to us rather than the five of us hash out that list back and forth and back and forth and all
that. I think that responsibility falls on us at this point.
Who has been meeting and dealing with all these issues, I would like to see them come forward with a recommendation on each of those.
Well, we have six potential recommendations from the six proposals. All of them have different revenue opportunities.
Not the different proposals. Those things right there that the town has to make decisions on.
Right.
Not deciding about premium. I really thought their presentation was spot on. But are we going to have it free for the residents or $1 a day or something? That's not premium's issue, that's our issue. And I would like to see the parking committee wrestle with that without the five of us having to go through it.
Well, I would tell you that the parking committee can take that action. However, they are unelected individuals. And these are primarily, in my view, the town has to make these decisions.
That's going to slow the process down. If we're going to do it, we need to be able to do something by mid-April. So we need to make the decision or not.
Yeah. Okay. So the five of us become the
parking. Yeah, it's our burden at this point.
Yeah, so I think we have one big decision and then a bunch of little ones come out of it. I think the retreat's the right place to talk about it because we talk about our priorities, right?
And
if the priority is to implement paid parking in 2021, that comes out as the very first part of our retreat, and then we have to do all the actions that require that, right? So I think it's definitely the retreat's the right place to talk about it. And then once we decide that's a priority or not, then the council has to answer these questions. Because I agree with Commissioner Whitley that this is setting rates and saying what the residents got to deal with, and I think it's an elected official responsibility. If you look back through the presentations, I looked through all of them, thank you. Most of them have recommendations, so I don't know that I agree with any of them in total, but at least there's a good template. If we could pull those out and just see them all together, I think we can work through that. But I think the bigger question for council is it a 2021 priority or not? And that, I think, is for us to talk about Monday and decide. Once we decide that, I think we can answer the other questions pretty quickly. Sounds like the town attorney's already getting ahead on the contract, which is good, so he'll tell us if he's got a problem with the contract or not. I think one issue at the retreat to talk about with the police chief is, okay, do you have all of the things in place if we go to paid parking to deal with people parking and people charged? Because the police chief's that's gonna be the issue. Right. If you're charging $350 on E Avenue, people are going to park in my front yard, and I want to make sure the police chief can fix that for me. Same thing with everybody else in the old part of town. Is if you start paid parking, everyone in the old part of town is going to be calling our officer to deal with people parking there because they don't want to pay. And I want to make sure we have all those things in place because he's going to get deluged with those. If you look back in the 80s when Riceville Beach implemented paid parking, that's exactly what happened in Riceville Beach. So we got to make sure our police department's ready if we do this.
That's how we need to do it early.
If
we go that route, so we could have the month of April as a test month.
No, I agree with you. Yeah.
And issue the warnings as they stated and be done with it. And then May 1st, you get a ticket.
Okay. Yeah. So Memorial Day is May 31st this year, but whenever. I backed it up from Memorial Day, but I know everybody else is doing earlier, so whenever.
So what is the will of the council? Is the will of the council to put this on Monday the 1st?
Question. Do we want to let go of the vendors as we continue this discussion?
Yeah.
We can do that. So Ben and Tim, we're going to continue the discussion from the perspective, but we will be back to you probably within a week. If you can provide that contract, we will be back to you within a week.
Great. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you all.
I just think we'll get bogged down in these decisions on Monday and we'll be there all day.
No, I think we should talk about the thing we talk about is, are we doing or not? Then
yeah.
The rest of them can.
Well, everybody's known this is coming. You haven't made your mind up yet?
Yeah, we haven't taken a vote.
Right. Exactly.
You're
right.
You've got to take
tighten up, gentlemen. Tighten up.
We've got all kinds of priorities that are going to come up Monday. This is one of many of them. Does this one make it or not? I think that's reasonable. That's the right place to talk about it.
Okay.
I mean, make a motion now if you want to, and we'll see if it gets a second vote. But
well, if we're either moving forward or we're not. I mean, I don't see what we're going to talk about on Monday that's going to be any different, but whatever.
Well, okay. It appears to be the will of council that we're going to take this up on Monday. On Monday, I would like to come to some type of decision so that we know either we continue with the efforts of the community that is part of the committee, or we set everybody free and we focus on other things.
And I request that council direct the police chief to be ready to answer the question, do we have the rules in place to effectively police off-street parking illegally in people's front yards if we do this? So he's got time to look at that as well, Judge.
We're punting on this.
They would actually provide that enforcement as well if we wish them to. But
I didn't see that, so I wish you'd have said that before they got off. How can they police outside their lot?
Well, they know where the they would have the list of resident license plates. And they would know where the paid parking areas are. So if it's not a resident plate, and if it's not in a paid parking area, it is probably illegally parked, in which case they would ticket it, and they could appeal.
No, because we changed the parking rules in town so that you could have a visitor parking in the easement, the public right-of-way in front of their house.
Yes, we did.
And those license plates wouldn't be in there. So like my house is a perfect example. I have all these college kids from my daughter coming down and they're parking in my house, in front of my house.
You're right, that's correct. You would have to, call the police to
exactly
tell them
right.
to ticket.
That's why I'm asking, does the chief feel he's got what
that's
he needs
point.
to control that?
So
that's all
would,
I'm asking.
I imagine it would be the same thing. You either recognize the place, the people's cars, or you don't.
I think the code covers that at the present time. Certainly we can look at it. My assumption is, and we won't know until we look at the contract, is that the vendor, for example, would be enforcing violations of not paying for the space they're in, whereas violations like you hypothesized about is for our law enforcement to handle. I think they're just going to be looking at the paid parking aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think, too.
That's what I understood.
That's why I asked the question the way I did it, right? So I understand that some of the council is in homeowners associations where you can't do this, but for those of us in the old part of town, a number of our visitors park in the public right-of-way in front of our properties, and we explicitly allow that. But once we do paid parking, there are people that are going to end up there, and our police officers are going to get called. Do we have what the police department needs to enforce that? That's all I'm asking. That means it's a pretty straightforward question.
Okay. Dennis, did you have a comment?
Yeah.
As part of the council?
We did mention, and we discussed this in committee, that premium would allow our police department to use their citation systems.
Right.
To issue citations. So they could issue civil citations and parking citations in the neighborhoods. So premium would cover the parking lots and the on-street parking where it marked spaces But our police department could use that same system of issuing citations if they get a call from a resident saying there's someone parked on my property. So in your particular case, if there was someone you didn't know parked there, you would have to call and say there's illegal parking on my property. They could use the same system to issue a citation.
And if the chief of police tells me that, I'm happy. There you go. If he's comfortable on Monday, then I'm happy. He gets time to think about it.
All right.
But that's my question and my concern.
Okay. So this is essentially tabled until Monday.
Well, I don't have a problem with us moving forward to decide whether we're going to select this company. I was just asking the question, when are we going to meet to go through these lists of 6-7 bullets to determine those costs and everything?
So we're getting breakfast, lunch, and dinner on Monday?
Well, no. Actually, the point is, if we decide not to do parking,
and breakfast the next day,
we don't have to do any of this.
Well, I know.
Right? So if we are on a path to do parking, then we have to make these decisions. So I would just like to get past decision number one, which is, are we going to do parking? If we're not, that's okay. If we are, that's okay. But that decision depends on what we do next. So that decision, my estimate is that you want to talk about that on Monday when we have an opportunity to talk to the police.
It doesn't sound like everyone on council is at the same place. If we want to have a vote, I have one question. The police chief can come in, and if he can answer it, I can vote right now, if that's what you want to do.
It's absolutely correct.
Okay, so you're comfortable that you will be able to deal with the issue when everyone's pushed back?
It's going to be a problem, probably, but that's the way we made the ordinance, that you can park in there. We wouldn't go enforce it unless the homeowner actually called.
Right, it's complaint-driven.
Complaint-driven only.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we don't know who you let park there.
There was originally the option of doing it by permit, but final version was set it up as complaint driven for the owner of the property.
Mm-hmm. And they've given us permission to use their equipment so that we don't have to deal with any more appeals and all that stuff. It all goes directly to the parking company and they take care of everything else.
And the collections.
So then the civil.
And collections.
Yes.
And so where do civil citations go then at that point?
Well, that's one of the things that I need to look at the contract. My knee jerk is that we'll probably have to go back into the parking regulations under the code to cover, to bring in violations and civil citations with respect to the paid parking. But if we also need to see how the contract handles it, because in North Carolina, it's very unique. If you don't have a certain, I call it magic language, and the code has it at the present time, but if you don't have that magic language, then the proceeds are school board property. So I want to see, I'm real curious, I didn't want to bog down the presentation because I didn't see that they had any North Carolina presence when they put those clients up, so I'm curious. I need to look at the contract to see how we deal with that issue.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, I mean, gentlemen, I'm okay with Monday. On Monday, we just need to be prepared to make a choice.
I think it'd be prudent to let our attorney see the contract, the basic contract, before we move forward.
Is that where we all are?
I support Monday.
Wherever you guys are, I'm fine.
Okay. All right. So this will be discussed on Monday.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Next point, smoking vaping policy.
Umbrella under that we need a smoking and vaping policy. for town, we're going to have to post some signage, we're going to have to designate some smoking areas. I've got the ordinance in the agenda packet for all of you. And part of that was that we needed to develop a policy for our employees and designate some areas for the employees to have an area for smokers and vaping. So I met with the department heads last week. I proposed a couple of different policies. One was long and detailed, and one was short and more short and sweet. The majority of the department heads liked the shorter one. That policy is also in your agenda packet. It's just stating that we're falling under the county. You're not to smoke unless you're in a designated area, etc. I want to add this into our personnel policy, just behind our substance abuse policy. And just that's part of our support for the county ordinance. And each department's going to, you know, designate an area for where the smokers can be. And I'm going to probably add that into this policy. And then we've got areas at the park, the Oceanfront Park. I've got that attachment in there, too. I can pull it up.
So, just to be clear, it's not in support, it is required.
Well, it is, yeah. Because we're okay. Under the county, yeah. But I wanted something in our personnel policy.
No, I know, but I'm just saying you said in support of the policy. No, we're required to follow this because it's the county health department. Okay.
Yeah. I'm in support for us and our policy, our personnel policy.
There was a detailed policy put forward as well as a short policy. The short policy was the selected policy by the department heads.
Yep.
I did tell her not to throw the long one away in case we need it in the future. So, but this is what everybody agreed to.
I'm asking council's approval for me to add this to our personnel policy. And for the okay to go ahead and get started with finding and placing signage and designating areas of smoking or non-smoking areas.
Make the motion we approve the policy as presented, direct the town administrative department head to proceed with appropriate signage as required by the New Hanover County Health Department.
Okay.
I'll second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So be it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mandy. Mr. Whitley, discussion on land use plan.
Last month ago, Wes presented the Council of Government plan for, the offer of assistance for our land use plan proposal. I think that we should move forward with Wes. I spoke with him this morning. He was going to attend tonight, and I told him no need to. We just need to get our ducks in a row. The Land Use Plan Committee is ready to move forward. They are still offering to work with us, splitting it up over two fiscal years. I think that would be the best way to go forward, because I just feel that they will be the best option if this gets challenged down the road. It's going to be a document for the next 10 to 12 years at least. So I feel we should go ahead and move forward with, and let them know, because they said they could start in April. If we could give them approval now, I think we can go ahead and get the ball rolling in April.
I believe that if we ran into difficulties, I would rather have the Council of Governments sitting with our counselor to help defend us. So I'm in support of what you're recommending, Joe. I mean, I don't know where the others sit.
Yeah. I concur with Commissioner Whitley. I'm not as worried about us getting challenged in court as the fact that I think they'll do a good job at a good price for the citizens. But I agree. I think they're the appropriate people to work with. So do you need a motion?
Unless there's any other questions. Okay. If we may have a motion.
I make a motion that we reach out to Council of Government and start the process for working with them to update our land use plan for 2021.
Okay, we have a motion.
Well, sir, may I interrupt?
Yes, sir.
What you actually have is a contract proposal and a specified price that Council, in my opinion, should consider and act upon, and it favorably authorize you to execute that proposal. So there's a contract on the table for a price not to exceed 35, and I think the motion should cover that.
Mention the price?
Well, I think the motion ought to be, can I have a motion to approve the proposal submitted by the Cape Fear Council of Government for a price not to exceed $35,000 to contract with them and to help us prepare the comprehensive land use plan?
A lot of words tonight. I make a motion that we work with the Council of Government with a contract not to exceed $35,000 to, as we work with them to update our land use plan for 2021.
And to have, to authorize the mayor to execute that contract on behalf of the town.
And for the mayor to execute that contract on behalf of the town.
Second.
Okay. Now we have a motion. Do I have a second?
Alan.
Commissioner Oliver.
Alan did.
Alan seconds. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So be it. Okay, now moving to new business. LDSI update. Mayor Pro Tem Hegler.
Yep, so first I'm going to bring the attorney up to talk to us about what resolution we have to pass.
Did you want the email that you sent me up?
Yeah, you can bring it up after the attorney talks.
Okay.
And then I email everyone. Sorry it was late, but I emailed you the actual contract that we're going to talk about after the attorney approves.
It's staff's understanding that this item is to be, that the item of contracting of LDSI will be considered and acted upon by council during tonight's meeting. The contract, of course, I'm referring to is the proposal submitted by LDSI on December 17, 2020 for a price of $11,872 to provide engineering services with regards to the installation of a stormwater drainage pipe. By statute, there's a separate procurement process that municipalities have to follow whenever they hire or contract with surveyors, engineers, and architects. It's an RFQ process that to date has not been done with respect to this particular item. However, that statute, which is called the Mini-Brooks Act, allows the governing board to exempt contracts with architects, surveyors, and engineers if, from that RFQ process if the price of the contract is $50,000 or less, which is what we have here. Assuming that that's what council would like to do, avoid the RFQ process and move forward with LDSI, then I've prepared a resolution exempting that agreement from the Mini-Brooks Act. It's one page, I'll read it if you would like. Whereas the town requires professional engineering services with respect to the installation of a certain stormwater drainage pipe. Whereas LDSI is a service-disabled, veteran-owned small business certified by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs through their VetBiz program that has a 20-year history of providing services exceeding expectations. Whereas LDSI has offered to provide the needed engineering services at a cost of $11,872 as set forth in the December 17, 2020 proposal attached here to incorporated here by reference. Whereas the town's procurement of engineering services requires a qualifications-based selection process under the Mini-Brooks Act, which is cited in the resolution. Whereas the town is authorized under that statute to exempt engineering agreements not exceeding $50,000 from the RFQ process. Whereas council finds that LDSI has demonstrated the competence and qualifications needed to provide the engineering services to the town. And whereas council also finds it's more efficient and in the public's interest to exempt the proposed LDSI agreement from the Mini-Brooks Act requirements. Now, therefore, it's hereby resolved by council in a meeting duly noticed and assembled as follows. One, the proposed proposed LDSI agreement is exempted from the Minnie Brooks Act. Two, and there's an assumption here that you're going to approve it, the mayor is authorized to accept and sign the agreement on behalf of the town.
So I make a motion we approve the resolution as read, and then we can discuss, or we can do it either way council wishes, but I'm willing to make a motion to approve this first and then discuss the what LDS is proposing. So I make a motion we approve the resolution as
read. Second.
Okay, we have a motion and seconded, and LDSI has been with us through this entire process, so starting over doesn't make a lot of sense to me. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? So be it.
So now if you can pop it up. So basically we've talked back and forth with LDSI about the specific issue in the Motsu property behind Settlers Lane. For a while, we were going down the path that we thought, okay, we need Motsu to tell us we're okay. And then it came up in the November time frame, and we discussed it again at the December meeting that before Motsu will approve, we need drawings, engineering drawings, specifying inlet locations and pipe sizes to go to them to request to put a pipe back there. And so that's what this contract is for. LDSI proposes to do the stormwater study, including pipe sizing, inlet locations, and drainage improvement as a bleed-off drainage between behind Settlers Lane. And then when we walked this weekend, I pointed out to the commissioners that instead of going all the way to the water tower, which goes over a ridge, which is not part of the problem, which also makes the property so large that we would get into permitting issues because of disturbance in that area with NCDOQ, that we would start at that Highline Ridge and come forward, and that's what this proposes. That's why it's less. So I think they can do this fairly quickly, and then we could get it on into Commissioner Wheeler's hands to go to Motsu, so hopefully we can get them to approve something for us.
Okay.
So request permission to direct the mayor to sign the contract with LDSI now that we have the attorney's permission to move forward on this.
Opinion.
So I make opinion. Thank you, sir. Thank you. I make a motion that we give the mayor permission to sign the contract with LDSI not to exceed $11,000, and let me find the number.
$872.
Sir. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So be it. Okay. Mayor updates. I don't have any additional updates beyond what we have discussed this evening. Commissioner items. Alan?
Mr. Mayor, we did find out last week that, well, about 2 weeks ago, we saw a press release that the Word Up Act for 2021, that we were in the plan to help Wrightsville and Carolina Beach with the reauthorization of their projects. Our project goes out to like, our beach renourishment projects go out to like 2036, I think is when ours runs out. But that's just an authorization, it's not an appropriation. After that, the Army Corps of Engineers has 60 days to do their work plan, send it into the Office of Budget Management with the federal government, and then projects are appropriated. So the money is put there. We found out last week that our projects were left out, so there's no money, no federal dollars in beach renourishment for our 2022 event with us, Carolina, and Wrightsville Beach. We're in the process of working our contact with the federal government to see if we can get it, that added back in. The county's taking the lead on this. The mayor and I were in a meeting last week that discussed our options, and right now, that's the direction we're going in right now. It's not good news, but it's not the end of the world. We got some other options. So, Greg, you need to add anything to that?
No, I think the plan A, B, and C are adequate. Doesn't necessarily need to go through all of those here this evening, but there's a lot of confidence for resolutions, so we'll see how it works. Anything else, Al?
No, that's it. Sorry.
Mr. Whitley?
Nope.
Mr. Hagler?
So just a question. Do we know when we're sending out the return stickers for hurricanes this year?
Is that
in
February?
Today? They should have went out today. So for those citizens online, please don't throw them out. Or we can buy a new one. So I know some people last year threw them out. Once you get stuff for free, don't pay attention to it, I guess. We will start circulating the hurricane response plan among the department heads to bring to council in the April or May timeframe. So unfortunately, it seems like it's a long way away, but I can't believe it's already in January. And other than that, I think all the departments are on hand. It's nice to see a big gas tank back there, so great job by the police department and the other department heads to get that in actuality. That hopefully won't be using it for a hurricane, but I'm sure we probably will, unfortunately. That's all I have, sir.
I assume we will have the education sessions again this year.
We will.
All right.
We'll see if we can not do it online, but we will. We'll definitely have something.
Okay.
And the video is out there if people want to go look at it. I try not to watch myself again.
Mr. Ellen?
Nothing.
Okay. All right. So,
I'm going to make a motion we go into closed session.
Yes, sir. Do I have a second?
A second.
All right. All in favor?
Before we do we need the department?
You've been muted. To unmute yourself, press star 6.
So just asking council, do we need any department heads standing by so they don't have to say?
Yeah. Certainly can excuse the department.
Yes. Thank you, gentlemen and the ladies. I guess you have to stick with us, Fanny. Unfortunately.
Andy. Yep. So we.
All right, you're good.
Okay. I need a motion to return from closed session.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
So the council discussed with the attorney, no action was taken.
Okay.
Make a motion to close.
Second. All right.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.